This is HPR episode 2307 entitled BFNU V5RVHF/UHF Handset Part 4, and is part of the series QSK HAM Radio. It is hosted by Mr. X and is about 16 minutes long and carries a clean flag. The summary is an in-depth series about the BFNU V5RVHF/UHF handheld transceiver.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Hello and welcome, Hacker Public Radio audience. My name is Mr. X. As usual, I'd like to start by thanking the people at HPR for making this service available. If we all contributed a show, we'd have more shows than we know what to do with. The show is provided by the community for the community. It's actually very easy. We've gone to a great deal of effort to streamline the whole process, and it's really quite easy. It's The hardest bit I find is getting around to writing the show notes. It's just a matter of picking up a microphone and hitting the record button. I'm sure you must have something interesting that we'd all love to hear.
Okay, on this episode of the podcast, I'm going to describe all the outer controls around the outside edge of the Bofeng UV5R. Hopefully it won't be too rambly, and hopefully it won't be too boring. But remember, this is all Ken Fallon's fault.
Okay, so let's now cover the detailed description of controls around the case. So if we take the actual radio itself, and we'll go around the outside edge first of all. So looking from the front, right hand side, you have a plastic cover which has the letters SP and MIC on it. SP presumably is for speaker, and MIC is presumably for mic. I'll just open this up. Now, I don't think the radio's not waterproof or anything like that, but obviously that cover helps if there's light rain or whatever, I suppose. So when you flip that open, you get two jack plugs. Jack plugs, according to Wikipedia, a phone connector, also known as a phone jack, audio jack, headphone jack, or jack plug, is a common family of electrical connectors typically used for analog signals, primarily audio, and they usually come in 3.5 and 2.5 millimeter sizes. Controversially, Apple is removing these, well, the 3.5 from their latest iPhone, I believe. I actually had a conversation with a fellow amateur recently, and he was talking about a weakness on the Bofeng UV5R, and that the audio can cut out from the radio, and this is related to using the speaker jack on the radio. And he said that people just when that happened, they just throw them in the bucket. But he said that he came across an article in the web. A website, and I'll see if I can find it, which described how to get around that. Now, I don't know if you still lose some of the functionality of the actual speaker socket once you do this, but it allows the audio to come through the main speaker of the radio again, which is what happens. That cuts out, supposedly. What these things do is that when the jack plug is pushed into the socket, it pushes a contact as it makes contact. But as it does that, it moves it and breaks connection with another contact, which then disconnects the speaker inside the radio, so that when you plug headphones in, the radio stops making a noise, basically. And something must be going wrong with that socket inside, obviously. In fact, I've now noticed a problem with my own handset. If I push it slightly too far in, then the audio from the covert earpiece cuts in and out a little bit. I haven't noticed any problem with the radio itself, but the earpiece is a bit iffy when you push it in. But it seems to be more to do with the socket and the radio and not the actual earpiece. So maybe I'm going to have a problem like that in due course as well. So that's something to think about. These sockets are a bit iffy anyway. I have these same sort of thing on my Sansa Clip. And for that reason alone, I never take the earpiece out, because if you leave them alone, they're perfectly fine, these sockets. But if you're constantly pulling them in and out, they fairly quickly fail. I mean, you can get more professional versions of these sockets and plugs, and they're more robust. I've got the kind of large version of these, and they're not 3.5, they're the bigger ones, which I don't know what size that is, but it's the ones that they use in guitars and the guitar amps. And I've got one of those on my big HF radio, which I have. And it's got a very solid snap click to it when you push the socket in, and that's very good quality. So you can get good quality sockets and plugs, but generally they tend to be cheap, so that's something to watch out for. These two sockets can also be used to program the radio. If you can get a programming cable, and with the correct programming cable and software, you can load frequencies and settings into it and such like. So that's very useful. The next control round is a volume control. It's a variable resistor, a rheostat or potentiometer, and as you turn it, the resistance varies on this device, which in turn adjusts the volume of the audio to the speaker. It also has a switch integrated into it, which you can hear it click when you switch it on. You maybe heard that. There you go. That turns the radio off and on. A slight problem I found with that is that being on the top, if it sits on your belt clip, it can actually be moved as you're walking and can gradually bring the volume of the radio down. So that's maybe not terribly clever. My more expensive, older amateur radio handset has a side volume control, and it's kind of shrouded a little bit to protect it, and it never moves. So perhaps a slight weakness in the design, but really still fantastic for the value. So that's that. The next control on the device, as you work your way around on the top, there's a kind of clear LED on the top. So LED is a light emitting diode. A diode is a semiconductor, so-called because under certain conditions it will conduct, and in other conditions it won't. You can think of a diode as being a bit like a non-return valve used in plumbing, in that it will allow electricity to flow in one direction, but not the other. A diode can be manufactured in such a way that it will emit light if voltage with the correct polarity is applied. LEDs were first manufactured around 1960. They have many advantages over conventional bulbs, such as producing very little heat, low energy consumption, longer lifetime, and improved physical robustness. It's remarkably useful, this LED, when you're wandering about the place. It's, you've got the radio with you and it can be a little bit dark. You just tap a button and then the light comes on and you can see what you're doing. It's amazing that how useful it is. The next control on the device is the antenna socket. And this uses an SMA connector. They call it SMA. And of course, I didn't look at what SMA stands for. Let's have a wee look. Connector. SMA, Subminiature Version A, connectors are semi-precision coaxial RF connectors developed in 1960 as a minimal connector interface for coaxial cable with a screw-type coupling mechanism. The connector has a 50 ohm impedance. SMA is designed for use from DC to 18 GHz, but it is most commonly encountered with Wi-Fi antenna systems and USB software-defined radio dongles. So there you go. That's what an SMA stands for. That's what SMA stands for. Subminiature Version A. I never knew that. Now, where was I? Yes. So a word of warning about the connector on this radio. It's a reverse SMA, so it's the opposite of what you normally get. It's a reverse SMA to SO. You need a reverse SMA to SO239 adapter if you're thinking of attaching a larger radial to the radio, as the SMA connector is a reverse gender to the usual socket found on radios like this. I haven't as yet looked into this, but I'm sure it will be easily enough to pick up online. The next control on the radio is the call button. When the handset is turned on and is in receive mode, a short push of this button turns on the FM broadcast radio, allowing you to listen to normal FM radio stations. Another short push will turn the handset to normal operation. The FM radio broadcast will also turn off if a signal appears on the frequency you were listening to before the call button was pushed. A long push of the call button when in receive mode will flash the word alarm on the button on the bottom line of the LCD display. The front TX-RX LED will flash alternatively red and green. The top white LED blinks quickly. An audio siren is broadcasted simultaneously through the handset's loudspeaker and on a predefined frequency set up during programming. A short push of the call button will cancel the alarm and return the radio to normal operation. Yeah, well, there's not an awful lot of use for that, an amateur use, obviously, but interesting nonetheless. The next button around, down from the call button, it's a larger button so that it's easier for your finger to get onto, because you're going to be using this button the most. And it's got the words, the letters PTT printed on it. So the PTT button stands for push to talk. The Bofeng UV5R is equipped with a single receive circuit and single transmit circuit. When the push to talk button is pushed, it will deactivate the receive circuit and activate the transmit circuit of the handset. Releasing it will do the opposite. This is simplex operation, as the radio can either be in receive mode or transmit mode, but not both. Duplex handsets are available which have a single transmit circuit and two receive circuits, allowing the radio to receive two signals at the same time. One of the receive circuits is switched off when the PTT is pushed, and the transmitter is then activated, allowing the radio to both receive and transmit at the same time. This makes the radio operate more like a mobile phone, which is in fact how a mobile phone or cordless phone works, by transmitting and receiving at the same time. Duplex radios are substantially more complex and therefore more expensive than the Bofeng UV5R. Okay, so the next button along is the monitor button. MON, I think it says on the button, yeah, MON. The monitor button. This button opens the radio squelch. According to Wikipedia, in telecommunications, squelch is a circuit function that acts to suppress the audio output of a receiver in the absence of a sufficiently strong desired input signal. Squelch is widely used in two-way radios and radio scanners to suppress the sound of channel noise when the radio is not receiving a transmission. Squelch can be opened, which allows all signals entering the receiver to be heard. This can be useful when trying to hear a distant or otherwise weak signal. So I'll just turn the radio on and let you hear that.
Channel mode.
So there you go, that's the radio on. So if I push and hold the monitor button down, you'll hear. There you go. And if I release the button, then it stops. If you what I forgot to mention is if you momentarily touch this this PTT button, this monitor button, then the top LED light comes on. If you touch it a second time, it flashes rapidly, and if you touch it a third time, the LED goes off. So it's a dual function, the mon button. Long press for opening the squelch, and short press for activating the top LED, which, as I said before, is extremely useful. So that covers all the controls around the outside of the Bofeng UV5R.
Okay, that's about it for this podcast. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope it wasn't too boring. If you want to contact me, I can be contacted at mrx@hpr@googlemail.com. That's mrxathpr, the at symbol, googlemail.com. So until next time, thank you and goodbye.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the binary revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license. We'll